Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
RTÉ have defended its plans to feature the Father Ted co-writer, Graeme Linehan, on primetime programme tonight as part of a report on transgender issues in Ireland. Now, the decision to feature Linehan on the show led to a creation of a petition calling for the comedy writer to be removed from the debate. Earlier today, the petition had over 4,500 signatures. Now, the creator of the petition has taken issue with the views of Graeme Linehan and has shared on the topic that the issues that he has shared on the topic via his Twitter feed, and says he is not an expert in the subject. Also, we did give that person an opportunity to come on the show. We sent them a message. They verified they are the person who put up the petition, and they said they're delighted to see that Graeme has so much time to talk about it, but they said they have better things to be talking about, and they don't believe the transgender issue is up for debate. Which in other words means that, and if you have a different opinion to them, they don't want to talk to you. The question I want to know is, do you think it is hate speech to disagree with aspects of transgenderism? Now, of course, the show tonight will focus not so much, I suppose, on people who are transgender necessarily, but on the fact that young children as young as 5 and 6 years of age are transitioning and identifying as the opposite gender to the one they were born. And I suppose for some people that's quite concerning. For others, they believe that's a normal part of life nowadays. I want to know what you think. Why are they right to suggest that Graeme, who's not a doctor, not a psychologist, but a person with an opinion and has been quite adamant about his opinion, do you believe they were right to ask him to be removed from this particular show? And is it hate speech to disagree with any aspect of transgenderism? And on the line is Graeme Linehan. Graeme, good afternoon to you.
Hello there, how's it going?
Good. Graeme, your reaction, I suppose, firstly to the petition, you know, of you being on the show and featuring on the show, and I know you yourself don't even know what parts of the interview that you did will feature on the show because it was all recorded, but I mean, what's your reaction to the way, I suppose, they want to silence you?
Well, I told them that that it would happen. I said, I hope you're ready for a letter-writing campaign or a kind of Twitter pile-on or something, because that's standard operating procedure for trans activists. And I want to make it clear right from the outset, I'm talking about trans activism. It's nothing to do with trans people, and a lot of trans people actually agree with me.
Okay, and what is your opinion, Graeme, on trans people? You know, if somebody is a man formerly and wants to be a woman, I mean, how does that sit with you?
Well, you know, that this is kind of central to one of the problems and one of the reasons why it's so ridiculous to say we can't talk about it. Because by Stonewall's definition here in the UK, trans means a huge variety of things. It doesn't just mean people who have gender dysphoria. It means it covers people who are cross-dressers, you know? So
people who just want to identify.
No, people who just wear women's clothes at some point. And the idea that trans women are women, get over it, when it covers someone like Pippa Bunce, who dresses as a woman literally two or three days out of the week, and the rest of the time identifies as a man, you know, and took a position on a top 100 women in business list from a woman, is absolutely absurd. And the idea that we can't talk about it, the idea that we can't address some of these absurdities, is, I think, a sign that they actually do know how ridiculous some of these positions are. And that's why they say no debate, because they wouldn't, you know...
Okay, do you think that sex and gender are intrinsically linked? Because, of course, the trans community will have us believe that they're not linked.
The definition of gender is so woolly.
Is it a social construct? Is gender a social construct, or is it linked to your sex?
But I don't think sex is. Mm. Sex is real. You know, sex is real, and it is the basis of many health problems that men and women have that make them different to each other.
Of course, men don't get cervical cancer and stuff like that, yes.
And a million other things. And so to suddenly decide that you're going to erase women from, you know, by doing things like using phrases like pregnant people, is dangerous, confusing. Like, I had cancer this year, you know, and it's a terrifying thing. It's very, very frightening. So if you have cervical cancer, one of the things you need and want when you're in that vulnerable stage is you need clarity. So to read documents that have been edited for inclusive language, it doesn't help anyone. Because if a trans man is being treated for cervical cancer, then they need exactly the same clarity that that NATO women do. So I object to it for those reasons, but for wider reasons as well.
And do you acknowledge trans people? Like, for example, I know last year you had the police, you went as far as the police were actually called to your door. Because, now, I know this is subject to, obviously, a legal case at the moment and you're limited in what you can say. But in saying that, the police did call to your door in reference to the fact that you refuse to identify a trans person you were talking to as a she.
No. The reason I got the police sent to my door was because I accurately identified someone who has, let's say, a interesting past. One I can't really talk about.
Yeah, obviously,
too much,
for obvious reasons.
Still in the midst of it. But basically, I'll put this to the wider. I'll make a wider point here. There are people within the within trans activism, and I think there's three dangerous groups. They're misogynists, fetishists, and grifters. Now, those three groups are not, I don't believe they're trans. I believe that they are using trans people as a cover and a way.
So you're saying they do a disservice to the trans community?
Yes, they certainly do. And they are defended like the people who defend those people defend them like lions. And they are not to be, one of the things we've constantly asked, like I co-signed a letter with a gay activist over here called Johnny Best, asking for Stonewall to clean their own house, to say, no, we don't agree with these people who are using gender identity to harass women online, to threaten them, to bully them, to drag them through the courts. I am lucky because I was able to afford to fight this person. Mm-hmm. But most of the people this person has sued, after a certain point, the person asks for go away money, and people pay it because they can't afford to go through the courts, and that's happening in Canada as well with a guy called Jonathan Yanis, who is suing all these working class beauticians because they refuse to wax his male genitalia, you know. And that's the kind of grit.
So what, he's going to female beauticians asking them to wax his male genitalia?
Yes, and they say, no, I'm sorry, we only do female waxing. And he says, that's transphobic, I'm going to sue you.
That's outrageous, you know? Actually, to be honest with you. But okay, so what you're basically saying is that these issues are blurring the line completely, and these issues are doing a disservice to genuine trans people. Now, your inclusion in the show tonight, I mean, what is the gist of what you're actually saying on the show tonight, if you could tell it? And I know, obviously, from an RTE's point of view, they don't want to give the game away too much, but the gist is, obviously, that you're against young people identifying as, I suppose... At what age, Graham, do you think it's acceptable for a young person?
I'm not against young people identifying however they want, but what can't happen is... I'll give you a very good example. The trans people that I've made friends with through this argument, I would never call them by the gender that they don't want to be called by, because it's basic manners to call a trans woman she and so on. That's just manners, right?
Yeah.
But this idea of taking trans women are women as a literal truth is extremely dangerous.
Okay, so what you're saying is you respect the fact that they want to be called a woman or a she, but you don't have to buy into it. In other words, don't force me to believe it, is what you're saying.
Yes, and it's compelled speech, and that is not right. You cannot compel other people to accept something that you have decided is true.
Okay, but well, hang on for a second, because Louise is on the line, and Louise is, well, when I say an outspoken member of the trans community, Louise has been in the papers once or twice in this country for different reasons. Louise, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, now.
Louise, I mean, is Graham being misunderstood? I mean, he's a man with an opinion. He is respectful in the fact that he said he would be happy to call you a she, but he doesn't have to buy into it, in other words.
No, he doesn't have to buy into it. I think some of his arguments are, believe it or not, when I'm listening to him, they're reasonably sound in the wider sense, because he's talking about fetishism and various things which are out with the number of people that I know who are transgender in Ireland. I mean, the number of people who have changed their name by date poll and
is increasing
their birth
rapidly.
Certificate is around about 300, so it's not a major number. But those people need protected. And the danger is that I see that what's coming from Graham here is that, particularly around the young people that we're changing, proposing to change the legal recognition of, that is doing them damage. The wider community don't understand the trans community, and in part, we have a lot of allies, a lot of supporters, and this is great, and it's coming from families and everywhere else. But at the same time, the young people these days are being stigmatized, and they're still coming through.
But is it becoming, Louise, and I don't want to be sound too flippant, but almost like a trend, that I have no issue, for example, you know, if Louise wants to be Louise, you know, once she's over 18 years of age and decides that's what she wants to do, that's fine, right? But when I hear other people talking about, you know, 26 other genders in the middle somewhere, I think you even had told me before you had an issue with that. I mean, we're blurring the lines of men and women. And I think what Graham is saying to me, in most cases, sounds pretty logical.
Well, to a degree, you cannot go to such a wide spectrum. I mean, the transgender umbrella covers people like me who live full-time, work full-time and do everything else full-time as female in the opposite gender that they were born in. But at the same time, that goes right through to transvestites who go out as a female at the weekend. And that's a totally different kettle of fish altogether.
But they're not women, are they? They're men who dress up as women.
They go out at the weekends, yes, but they live 90% of their time or whatever
but
it
should
is.
But should I identify them as women? They're not women.
They're not women, no. They're transvestites.
Yeah, well, that's it. So they're men.
This is all I'm saying. I mean, I mean, it sounds to me like we agree, you know, and it's very hurtful to take these positions and try and talk about them and to be called a bigot, you know.
The problem is always, Graham, that when you frame your language in such a way that our younger generation suffer.
He's asked for an example, Louise, of how you believe he frames his language in the wrong way.
Well, as it comes over in the media, Graham's persona in the media has been very, very, how can I say it, very direct and very...
Well, he has an opinion on it, yeah.
Yes, but it comes over as very transphobic. Now, that
transphobic...
Can you give me one example?
Well, I can't give you examples now because I've been reading it off online, off and on online. But when you come over...
Don't you see how dangerous that is, that you can't give me an example of actual words I've said?
There are examples online.
Don't you see that
But what I'm saying is, I'm not disagreeing with you here, but what I'm saying is there's a danger that the language that's used damages particularly our young
people. Which language? Which language? What? What language?
Well, the language, actually the case that you were talking about with Niall a moment ago with you in England. Now, I don't know the details of that, but that came over as very... very anti-transgender, and that.
Well, you know, I can't talk about that.
No, I know you can't talk about
by that.
That
person at the
yes,
moment.
I know
so
you can't talk about
that.
I appreciate that.
I don't think that's a fair one to go for. And to be honest with you, like I would love to tell you all about that person, and I think I would.
Okay, well, I would rather we didn't go into that conversation on the air, obviously. And from your point of view, and for your sake as well, Graham, too. You know, it would be better if we didn't go in specifically into the case itself. But Louise. What I hear, and I've read Graham's Twitter account on numerous occasions, and I don't think Graham's opinions, and I'm sure you've read my Twitter account, Louise, is poles apart from the way I feel in relation to it. I've no problem per se with you, Louise, personally, right? And if you want to identify as a woman, and you are, I consider you to be a woman, that's fine, right? And you're an adult, you can make your own decisions in life. But what concerns me, and I think what concerns Graham and a lot of the people, is children. When you have children who turn around and say, I don't want to be a boy or a girl, I want to be something in the middle. I want to be non-binary. This is all very confusing for society. Society doesn't have to accept this.
No, society doesn't have to accept it. But at the end of the day, what are these young people actually doing?
They need to see a psychiatrist.
Are they causing a problem for society?
No, but what we need to do, when a young person says, for example, I'm neither male nor female and they're 7 years of age, they need to talk to a counsellor because there's something wrong. Would you not agree?
Well, sorry,
Graham. You want us to respond to that?
No, I only wanted to say, people have been the gender roles for years. You know, it's a very natural and healthy thing. You know, if you look back at the 60s or the 70s with David Bowie and all these different things, it's a natural part of growing up. It's a thing to be nurtured because it's a rejection of sexist compartmentalize gender roles. And I really, really believe in it. I think it's important that kids do that. But when it becomes troublesome and dangerous is when blanket statements like trans women are women is taken so literally that they're actually changing, the way women's literatures is, or women's health advice and stuff like that is spoken about. You know, these are the things I'm worried about. And the idea of no debate, I think it's really dangerous because one of the worst things I can imagine is a child who's not transgender, who may be gender nonconforming and will turn out to be gay, being convinced at an early age that they are the opposite sex. We really, really have to talk about it. And that's all I'm saying.
I mean, do you believe, Louise, just before I go into the break, and I want both of you to stay during the break if you possibly can, but Louise, do you believe that Graeme should be silenced? Do you believe he shouldn't be on the primetime show?
I actually believe that, from what I'm hearing from Graeme now, that his views are much more sensible than I would have seen from his all the stuff that I've read and seen. Where I have the issue now is around the younger generation.
Well, wouldn't it be weird if we have a programme and a documentary on RT which show that talks about the fact that we're concerned, about kids and their mental health issues, that if we had a programme where everybody just came on, all agreeing with each other and all saying we should support every child to be whatever they want to be, wouldn't that be a strange documentary?
It would be a strange documentary, but at the same time, what you've got to realise is that once our young people hit puberty, there is depression, there's suicide attempts.
But the evidence shows out there that young children, for example, who are taken seriously and, you know, who are, say, put on puberty blockers or who transition them when they become 16 or 18 years of age and have, you know, obviously surgery, that the suicide rate doesn't go down. That it's not a resolve for the situation in a lot of cases.
I don't know where you see that. The
suicide rate for transgenders is very high. We all know that. It's extremely high,
yes,
right?
It's extremely high. Well,
it's still extremely high. I've seen rates of suicide rates for a transgender community after surgery. That's still high.
Well, I haven't seen those rates, and I'll be quite honest with you. I know before transition, it can be up to 40% of attempted suicide. The 40% is a horrendous number to have... attempting suicide because
it
society
is
against them.
Yeah, sorry.
And it's something, and families even.
Let me just go back to Graeme in relation to the suicide rate. Now, according to Holly, the girl who started the petition against you, who for whatever reason doesn't want to come on the air, she seems fit to write an email to us, but doesn't want to come on the air. She said that you're spreading hate, calling trans women men on Twitter every day, and it's toxic and concerning behaviour. And she also talks about your fake facts in relation to high rates of suicide. So getting back to the high rates of suicide, you wanted to address that.
Yeah, but first of all, I do not do that. Again, these are Chinese whispers. I don't call trans women men. You know, there's certain people who I don't even think are trans, who I think are using the movement for their own ends. And I think some of these specific people are misogynists, and I will not call them women. I think it's an insult to call those types of people women. But trans women generally, I will not misgender them.
Okay.
But to the suicide question. Those stats are not settled. They are not settled. And as you say, suicidal ideation often continues after transition, you know? And so they point to something that transitioning is perhaps not fixing for certain people. And when scientists try, there is now a chilling effect on scientists because every time they try and do a paper or a study on these issues, they are harassed, they're shut down, students go and protest outside their offices. It's insane. And one of the things that we are asking for is for the toxicity of the conversation to come down, for people to stop spreading lies and rumors about people, and to let scientists actually find out the real truth. About
okay, well,
matters.
let me put that to Louise. Okay, okay.
If they don't.
Okay.
If they don't, trans people will suffer as well.
Okay, Louise, there was a recent survey done in the UK in relation to young people who were identifying as the opposite gender. And in this particular school, they asked parents, there were 17 children in this one particular school, which was a very high rate, why they believed this was happening. A lot of them talked about what they talked about, coercion, right? In other words, that other trans people were coercing young people and saying, you know, oh, well, look, you can be what you want to be. So why don't you try this? It's great and all the rest. And they did this survey about coercion. They said a lot of it was coercion. The survey was banned, removed from the website, the school's or the college's website or university's website. It was taken down, demanded that they take this down, even though it was a factual survey. I mean, that's what Graham is saying. In other words, we're not allowed, you know, to say anything negative about it at all, or we're told to shut up.
Well, if you go back to the gay population know that they're gay from the age of 9, 10, some of them. And the same thing with the trans population. Now, if someone knows that they're trans, they're not going to be coerced. You know, that's you know, it's like somebody coercing a gay person. They know they're gay.
Well, then why suddenly have we seen, since the acceptance of trans over the last 4 or 5 years, there's very much a social acceptance of it because of political correctness, probably more so than anything else. Why have we seen a massive increase in the amount of children who are identifying? In England, they said by Deed poll, they've gone from numbers of 2 or 3 per year to 10 per week.
Yes, but you see, because it's a much more normal thing, it's the same with the adult population. The adult population now, and the younger population, there has been, in Ireland, there has been a mushroom of numbers, simply because they know that they can come out, whereas years ago, they would have been hidden, and they would have been suffering their mental health for years and years over the head of it. Now they can be themselves, now they can pay their taxes, live their lives normally, and get on with their lives.
As whatever gender they want.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you say it like it's the most easy thing in the world, but you've just been told that coercion is a factor. And when coercion was proved through a survey that coercion was a factor, trans activists tried to shut it down. So my point is, if coercion is a factor, we need to know the truth about these things so we can stop having these arguments. I know what you're saying when you say that trans people feel more comfortable coming out now, and that's obviously brilliant. But I do also know that a lot of lesbians have been saying, but lesbians have been saying that they do feel coerced, not only to transition, but also to accept trans women in their dating pool. And that's homosexual erasure. You know,
but at the end of the day, Graham, everybody has a choice. Every person has a free choice whether they want to transition.
But that's very easy to say, Louise. But are some people, not young people, particularly Louise, not easily led?
There would be some people, of course. I mean, of all straight, trans, gay, whatever, of course there would. But at the end of the day, you're born the way you are, and that's the way your genes are programmed. That's the way you're programmed. You're born gay.
Yeah, but that's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? I mean, in the conversation we're having today. Sorry, Graham.
But if you don't mind me saying, you said that gay people know they're gay from the moment, you know,
from the age of 9,
puberty or whatever. Yeah. But there's a very easy test for being gay. You're attracted to men or you're attracted to women. There's no test for being born in the wrong gender, because what is that test? That you don't like dresses? That you do like dresses?
When you're young, like the young people do now. I didn't when I was that age. I can remember April Ashley being in the news of the world one Sunday. My father used to get it. And the innuendo and the derogatory language they used about April Ashley when I was about 16. And it actually, I said, no, I don't want to be like that. I never want to be like that.
But I understand in your situation, Louise. And look, and you followed through, and we've spoken to you many times in the air, right? And I'm not disrespecting you personally. And I think you thought I did on Twitter the other day, by the way. And I don't believe
well,
I'm disrespecting you personally.
That's why I read it.
Okay, but in saying that, I mean, the point that Graham is making is that how do you? There is a test, obviously. If somebody's gay, they're attracted to people of the same sex. That's quite clear, right? But when you're transgender, and he talks about Mermaid, which is the charity in the UK, which Graham obviously objected to the National Lottery of giving funds to. You know, this idea that you can turn around to somebody and say, well, you like football, so you must be a bloke. Or you like to wear a dress, so you must be a girl. I mean, that's absolute nonsense. And people make life-changing decisions around that. I mean, if a parent suddenly decides that, oh, my child must be a woman because he likes to wear dresses or he likes to play with dolls, you know, all of a sudden they're marching him down to some psychologist or psychiatrist and the doctor's putting them on puberty blockers. And all of a sudden, you know, there's testosterone being injected into some young girl. I mean, I don't believe that's right.
That actually doesn't happen, and you know, it only happens after People have gone through assessment and everything else.
But do you agree, which most transgenders don't, with an age limit of 18 years of age before people should be allowed to identify?
No, I don't, because at the end of the day, young people, particularly in the schools...
We don't let people drink, we don't let people drive under the age of 18.
But
we'll allow them to make a life-changing decision. Yeah, but we're allowing them to make a life-changing decision. If I went in for breast augmentation, I wouldn't be allowed to have it until I was 18 years of age. But yet, I can go in and talk to a doctor about changing my gender.
Yes, but it's legal recognition we're talking about here. It's not medical transition. They can transition at 17, 18, 19, whatever it happens to be. At this stage, it's legal. This proposal that's coming through now from the working group is on legal gender recognition. Nothing more. It can be reversed.
Okay, well, Graeme, do you believe that it's nothing more than that? It can be reversed. Do you believe under the age of 18 people should be able to legally be recognised as the opposite gender?
The effects of puberty blockers and hormone treatments, they can't be reversed. They can be but the science is not settled because we don't know enough about it. So at the moment we're essentially experimenting on children with this stuff, and we need to get studies in so that we can figure it all out. And the idea that we can have no debate about this is absurd.
And we're having a debate, Graham.
That's because this is an independent radio station, and it wouldn't bother me how many people signed a petition. But RTE, obviously, is a public service. These type of things do have, they cause them problems.
Oh, yeah, sure. But, I'm sure they've got people on who are saying I'm full of it,
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to talk these things out?
Have you had communication, by the way, Graeme, with RTE since the petition went up? Have they contacted you?
No.
Okay. So, from what you believe, your piece is still in the documentary tonight.
I am not yet. They haven't contacted me to tell me it's out, But as I say, I don't think our positions are as far apart as they're being made out to be by a lot of bad actors in this conversation, Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, all I can do is keep speaking, and I'm going to keep speaking until things change.
Can I suggest that where things are taken up wrongly by anything that's said, that we bring the conversation back down to the core, which is the transgender people who are actually living and want to live 24/7 in the opposite gender and pay their taxes and get on with their life.
There's a problem.
It's the wider
definition is so wide.
Yeah,
there's a problem because the best. And one of the things we need to do before we go any further is we need to review certain things that are taken as law, like trans women are women, get over it. That is something that needs to be spoken about. And because the definition is so wide that it covers cross-dressers, then, I'm sorry, but you just cannot say that someone like Alex Drummond in Stonewall, who has a full beard, is the same sex as my wife and child.
I've been talking to Graeme Linehan, the creator of Father Ted, for the last 20 minutes or so in relation to his inclusion in the primetime documentary tonight about transgenders. Also talking to Louise, who is a transgender woman, which is, by the way, something else, Louise, that I've always disagreed with, the fact that I have to refer to you as a transgender woman. Why can't I just call you a woman? Why do we need a label? I'm just curious.
We shouldn't have labels at all.
But trans people do it themselves. I'm a trans man, I'm a trans woman. Somebody referred to me once as a cis man. I'm not a cis man, I'm just a man.
Personally, I wouldn't have labels at all of any sort. But just to go back to what we were talking about, what's proposed at the moment is legal gender recognition. It's not medical for under 18s. That's what it is.
Does that not psychologically, tell a child, we agree with you, you're 8 years of age, we agree with you, yeah, you're right, you're not a boy, you're actually a girl. So for the next 6 or 7 years of that child's life, before they get to the age of, say, 17 or 18 years of age, we're encouraging them and telling them they're a girl.
Well, won't they know at that stage whether they are or whether they aren't, or whether they want to go ahead or whether they don't?
But you can mould children very easily.
That's the point.
Children can be moulded.
But
children can be moulded. If a child has some sort of idea in their head and we encourage it, children can be moulded and almost brainwashed very easily.
I don't know that they can. Our young people can think for themselves. I mean,
anyone with a child knows that's true.
Listen, I have two, Graham. They're growing up, and I have four grandchildren. So at the end of the day, I've been through it. I've reared them. I've come through the system. You have probably family as well. You know the system. Young people nowadays, they know who they are. They're not going
I don't believe they know who they are at 7 or 8 years of age. We had a woman on the air here recently who had a 4-year-old who she said was transgender.
Niall, I was dressing in my mother's clothes when I was 7.
But you're not a transgender at 4.
So it's clothes. It's clothes. Clothes are the key. Do you know what I mean? I mean that's saying that our gender has something to do with outward appearances. And that's something that all the gender critical feminists I know fight like hell about. They think that men should be able to wear dresses and women should be able to, everyone should just be able to do what they want. But the idea that following on from this, we have to change laws like who we let into women's prisons and shelters and hospitals,
absolutely. I think that's where it gets dangerous, Louise. And we've seen recently in the past, particularly in the United States, where we have transgender women going into women's prisons. And already there's been a few rapes where, you know, they're not actually women. They were actually men. But that's a whole other argument. But anyway, stay there, please, just for a second, Louise and Graeme. Just Anthony very quickly, because I don't have much time. Anthony, you want to say something? Go ahead. You're on Classic Hits.
Hi, Niall. Graeme wouldn't be the first person actually to be vilified, because my text originally was about Germaine Greer. Now, she was the darling, she was a feminist, and she was a poster girl for feminism and this, that, and the other, because she made a simple factual statement that she said she didn't agree with men transitioning to women. She said they're not real women, they don't have ovaries, they don't have a monthly cycle, they don't have a womb, they can't carry a child, they won't go through the menopause, and just because they grow a pair of breasts when they take hormones, and I suppose to put it delicately, refurnished downstairs, it doesn't make them a woman. All of a sudden, universities were campaigning she shouldn't be allowed to speak. Students were out against her, young female students who would have thought she was a hero before that. And could I ask Louise, was there anything that Germaine Greer said that was untrue?
Germaine Greer actually got very bad press. But it's the way things work these days with Twitter and Facebook and everything else. One soundbite gets taken out of all.
The point is, should she have been silenced, Louise?
I don't think anybody should be silenced, but I think their views should be non-extreme.
How is that extreme?
To be fair to Louise, okay, I don't want everybody having a go at it, but go on, Graeme, you want to ask?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't want to team up on anyone.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But so how is that extreme, Louise? If it's somebody's view, just because it's different to your view. I mean, obviously somebody who doesn't agree with transgender to you is wrong, right? And because you're transgender, of course, and I respect that.
I don't agree with everything.
But should I be allowed? Should I be allowed?
Because at the end of the day, transgender is a wide spectrum.
What did she say that wasn't factually correct? Could I speak, Louise, for a second,
go ahead.
If you don't mind? What did Germaine Greer say that was factually incorrect? Can you tell me one thing she said that was factually incorrect?
I don't know going back that far, but I just am saying that things are taken out of context.
Well, let her answer the question.
Things are taken out of context on Twitter and Facebook these days, so you don't actually know what is actually being said.
But if somebody turns around and says, Louise, and wants to go on the media and say, I don't believe a man transitioning to a woman is actually a woman because they don't, you know, have a monthly cycle, because they can't get pregnant, they don't have a womb, do you believe they should be allowed to say that?
That if okay. They want to say that, but at the end of the day, what are the people that are transitioning? What harm are they doing?
Okay, well, listen, I got to thank everybody coming. Graeme, I appreciate you coming on the show today and taking the time to come on the air with us. And I'm looking forward to seeing the documentary tonight and your contribution to it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the chance to explain myself.
All right, thanks. All right. Okay, there you are, Graeme Linehan, creator of Father Ted, who certainly is in the news quite a lot, not for Father Ted, but obviously for something else.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.